It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, and I have as my returning guest, Bob Gilpatrick. As you may recall, he's the co-owners of Boomers Forever Young in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this is a holistic health company that began in 2010. Bob did decades of work in the health field, and now he's converting those skills into assisting others as an expert in advanced holistic nutrition, which is a mouthful. As previously mentioned on a prior show, Bob does podcasts and health seminars on a lot of diverse topics, and maybe you'd like to share some of those topics with our listeners today. And we're very happy that all of you are here listening to Bob and learning about health and wellness.
Sure. Hello, Lucy. Thanks for having me back on your show. Had a great time the last time, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen again today. So, some of the shows I've done, we did the first one we did was on the new science of holistic nutrition, mm-hmm. and I've also done shows on other nutritional shows, things that relate to different disease states, like today's on diabetes, mm-hmm. and also we've done them on heart disease and autoimmune disease, but then also on bodily systems, so the endocrine system and your circulatory system, issues with kidneys, etc., and then also more on the psychological side and also the spiritual side. So we've done shows about anxiety and depression and the relationship of the environment and your state of health as it relates to your emotional states. So that it'll be fun at times in the future when we can talk about those things. Today we'll talk a lot about the issue of inflammation because that goes along with diabetes, but then there's a whole nother topic to talk about with inflammation.
To talk about on that one, right. Mm-hmm. Right. I did a little bit of research, and of course I think almost every family has somebody who is diabetic within their family, whether it's themselves or a spouse or parents. But I understood that it's a huge percentage, close to 50%, that of people who are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. And of course, some people will get late onset diabetes, and those individuals are probably, over 65. I think my dad actually was a late onset, and his wasn't diagnosed until he was 80. But how does that happen? How do people actually become diabetic?
Well, there's two different major types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. Uh-huh. And then very rarely you also have gestational diabetes. But type 1 diabetes is usually caused either by an autoimmune issue or some type of a virus. So your pancreas produces insulin, which is secreted in response to the intake of food, and it helps to shuttle sugar into your cells. Mm-hmm. And your pancreas can stop working in regard to its ability to produce insulin from the beta cells, and it can lose it altogether, either from an attack of your own immune system that kills those beta cells, or from some type of a virus that kills them. And this quite often happens early in life. My sister got diabetes when she was 5 years old for one of those two reasons. And way back then, they didn't, have anywhere near as good a treatment as they do. And she lived to be 31 years old, which was actually fairly old for a person to live to be that had type 1 diabetes.
Wow.
And type 2 diabetes is comes on later in life because of insulin resistance and a poor diet and lack of exercise, mm-hmm. and it just becomes very difficult for sugar to get into your cells for a number of different reasons. And this comes on as you age, and it comes on usually rather slowly. You become pre-diabetic, and then you actually have diabetes where you need to fully manage it or you're going to be really sick.
Okay. And I know, the diagnosis is usually a blood test, correct? I mean, if you're going in for your regular physical, then if your doctor gets some sort of a test that shows that you have way too much sugar in your blood, that's the first red flag.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, there are usually, especially if someone has type 1 diabetes, the one of the main things is that people are get very, very thirsty. And that's what how we knew my sister had diabetes. She was just thirsty all the time. She could never get enough water.
Yeah. Okay.
And she would walk around the house with cups of water, drinking. And that's when my parents brought her to the doctor.
Okay.
But there's other symptoms as well. In fact, we had a person come here to our office that had type 2 diabetes. And the reason he found out is his eyesight was going bad. And he went to the eye doctor and they gave him new glasses. And they said to him, you know, we think you should go back to your regular doctor because this isn't normal to have this type of thing happen and you might have diabetes. And sure enough, he did. And when he went back for his checkup with his family doctor, he had very high blood sugar. So you want your blood sugar to be in the range of, say, 80, and his was 400.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was causing him to begin to lose his eyesight.
So it wasn't like glaucoma or something. It was just that he couldn't see anymore.
Yeah, he had very poor circulation to his eyes.
Can they see that with when they dilate your eyes? Can't they see that there's something going on when they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And poor circulation is one of the main things that occurs with people with diabetes, but it's not only poor circulation to your eyes. It's poor circulation to your periphery, your hands and your feet, and also to your kidneys. And that's why people with diabetes tend to have eye problems, kidney problems, and peripheral neuropathy.
So that tingling that they get in their hands and their feet can be a symptom.
Yeah, over time, you actually have a narrowing of the arteries in your periphery. And you also have nerve damage.
If somebody says they're pre-diabetic, what does that actually mean? You know, if a doctor says to them, you know, you need to start watching because you're pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm. So pre-diabetic is a person whose blood sugar is not out of control to the point where they have to have medication or a very serious lifestyle change. But rather, they can see that their blood sugar is starting to creep up and that it's going to, in the very near future, become necessary for treatment.
So
and that's always good to catch it at that point.
Right. So, I mean, if they were looking at their physician's, you know, blood work, because I know I get a copy of mine. So anything that would be above 80 to what number? What is considered then your full-blown diabetic?
Well, above 80, your doctor won't consider it pre-diabetes. Usually they're looking at the number of 100.
Okay.
So if you have consistent blood work that's 100 or above, you're getting to be pre-diabetic. But one test of 100 doesn't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they also have another test called the A1C, which tests your likely level of sugar in your blood over a 3-month period.
Okay.
So the way that's why they say likely, because really what they're doing is they're measuring the amount of sugar that is clinging to your hemoglobin. So hemoglobin is a molecule that transports oxygen into your cells, but sugar will also cling to it. So based on how much sugar is clinging to your hemoglobin, they can determine what your blood sugar likely was over a 3-month period. And this is called the A1C test. And a good A1C number is around 5.5. If it starts to get to be 6 or above, now they know there's way too much blood sugar in your bloodstream and that it's time to do something about it.
So if somebody was looking, it sounds like a piggyback kind of an effect, but if you were looking through a microscope at blood and you were looking at oxygen molecules, then you would see little sugar molecules stuck there too.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's why they call it the A1C. But yeah, the other thing that happens, which really is the biggest problem with diabetes, is that when people have extra sugar in their bloodstream, it doesn't just sit there and rotate around. And you have extra sugar in your bloodstream because it's not dropping down into your cells to be used for energy, mm-hmm. right? So a lack of insulin will cause that. But also, over time, a really poor diet of too much sugar in your diet creates this insulin sensitivity issue where your cell needs a certain amount of sugar. And if you have all this extra sugar in your bloodstream and it starts to hit the receptors to say, hey, we want to come in and bring more sugar in, but the fact of the matter is you don't actually need any more sugar. And so it creates this false alarm type of situation. Mm-hmm. And so now you end up with an insulin sensitivity problem, and there might be sugar in your blood that may be needed in your cell, but because you've created so many false alarms, it's not letting it in.
Ah. All right.
And so now you have insulin sensitivity and you have extra sugar in your blood, and it doesn't just sit there and not cause damage. It actually is attracted to proteins that are in your blood. And proteins are very important to remain in their original state. And instead, what happens is the sugar comes and it bumps against the protein, and it's called glycation. It glycates the protein and renders it into a toxin. And now that protein has become a toxin and has to be removed from your body. Now that protein was actually, you went to a lot of trouble to make that protein.
Mm-hmm.
That protein was supposed to be used for something.
Right.
And it required an extremely elaborate metabolic pathway to make that protein, a miraculous sequence of events to create that protein. And now you just ruined it with a sugar molecule.
Right, so you rendered it useless
right.
to you.
Not only that, but the worst part is in that reaction, the byproduct is a molecule of superoxide is thrown off from the reaction. Mm-hmm. And superoxide is two oxygen molecules bonded together, and they're like little hot coals.
Mm-hmm.
And these hot coals are going to then combine with other parts of your body, with tissue, and it will damage all different kinds of things, including your DNA and including the lining in your mitochondria, et cetera, et cetera. And so people who have diabetes age much faster mm-hmm. than people that don't have diabetes because this superoxide is literally burning you up. And the worst part about it is that it's making these little cuts in your DNA, in your genes. So this superoxide will cut a piece of your gene, which now means that when it gets expressed, it's not going to have the correct instructions for making the proteins that you make. And so now you have a lot more cuts than you would if you didn't have diabetes. They're called SNPs, singular nucleotide polymorphisms. And the good news is that you can repair them, right? And the way you repair them is the genes are in pairs and they're identical. So you can actually have your system make a copy of the area that got snipped and come over with the instructions to repair it, and then it will get repaired. And this process happens continuously all throughout every second of every day, whether you have diabetes or not. You're snipping your DNA and you're repairing it continuously. And a lot of your energy is used making these repairs.
Mm.
So a person with diabetes is going to have this extra superoxide, and it's not only going to create SNPs in the DNA, but it's also going to oxidize the fats that are in your bloodstream, and it's going to make them sticky so that they stick to the inside of your arteries.
And that's plaque.
That's going to become plaque. And it also damages the wall of the artery itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which then sets up a cascade of events that attracts more sticky plaque to that area. And so that's why people with diabetes end up having heart disease later on in their life, much faster than a person without diabetes.
So the person that came in that had the blood sugar level of 400, I believe you said.
Yeah.
All right. So, and he had vision issues. So he had probably a lot of this going on in his body.
Yeah.
More so than just his vision.
Right.
And then what happened to him? What?
Well, what we did for this person, and he still comes to see us still 8 years later. He still comes to visit. He lives in town. And so what we did was we gave him a product that we have that's made from sprouted barley seeds. And in this case, it's the product we call Gladiator Barley. And the reason that we did is he needed to very quickly get his inflammation down and ultimately to get his blood sugar down. And so as we gave him advice about his diet, which we can talk about in a little bit, and we also gave him this special sprouted barley seed powder. What happened for him was that there's an enzyme in that powder that's called superoxide dismutase, or SOD, like sod. And SOD is an enzyme that your body makes, when, especially when you're young, it makes a lot of it. And the superoxide dismutase is like a Pac-Man molecule, and it's looking for and watching for superoxide that's being thrown off from these reactions in your bloodstream and in other places. And it is neutralizing that that superoxide before it can cause these SNPs or damage in other places, right? And so humans make superoxide dismutase. Your DNA has a code for making it, and your body makes it in large amounts. But as you get older, you make less and less of it. And if you have diabetes, you can't make enough to counteract all the superoxide.
Yeah, so the system is getting exhausted, basically.
Right, and is getting snipped. And so by giving him this product that has superoxide dismutase in it that he could take by mouth, it elevated the level of that enzyme and immediately started scavenging all those little hot coal molecules that were causing the damage to his eyes. And so we are able to arrest the progression of it and dramatically lower his level of superoxide, far lower than it was even before he had diabetes.
Okay.
And so now, very quickly, all the damage stopped. Now, when you stop the damage, the repair process can begin. Your body's constantly repairing itself with new stem cells, new peptides, metabolic enzymes. You're rebuilding yourself continuously. And every couple of years, you have a brand new body. And so this was the case with this gentleman, was when we stopped this accelerated damage that was occurring, his body was able to rebuild itself very quickly. And in a very short time, within a couple of months, he didn't need his glasses anymore. And additionally, his blood sugar came down very quickly. Within a week, it was down to 300, and a couple of weeks down to 200. Then after a couple of months, it was down around 100. And then it took a little while longer after that for him to really change all of his habits, because he was a person that drank a lot of soda pop and his diet was not that great. And so we helped him to remake his diet, but he didn't immediately stop everything. But as he did, which didn't take long, as he did, he got to the point where he no longer had diabetes at all. And he had just come, when I first met him, it was at a small gathering where I was giving a talk at a luncheon. And he had just come from his doctor that morning, and she told him, you have diabetes, and here's your medication.
Wow. Okay.
So he decided not to take the medication, and because he wanted to try very quickly what the alternative was. And for him, it worked right away, so he didn't have to take the medication. But in some cases, people do have to, because the medication will quickly reduce their blood sugar. And sometimes that's the best thing to do in combination with other things like sprouted barley seeds, where you can tackle it with both, you know, sets of ammunition. So, and then later people can, if it looks like they've gotten their diet, their exercise, and their supplements under control, then they can slowly titrate their medication later on and see what happens. And there are some people that no matter what you do, they still have to take medication. Mm. Depends how long you've had it and other factors. Will you change your diet? That
right,
kind of thing.
I was going to say.
And so we have a lot of customers that still take medication from their doctor that use our products, but they can't get their A1C back down to that 5.5 without mm-hmm. the medication. Mm-hmm. And so, and there is particular medications for diabetes that have very few side effects that are actually very effective, and they have anti-aging effects because they do reduce the amount of sugar in your blood, which is very helpful for anti-aging.
Right. Well, it seems like a lot of the anti-aging part is directly connected to inflammation. So if the inflammation yeah. level is high, then they are, like you said, burning themselves up at both ends. And they've got to get that under control. So the barley does a good job of right. that, even if the length of time it takes to get down to the correct A1C level might take right. longer because of age or because of right. other health conditions that they could have, you know, right. in conjunction
and some,
with.
And some people never do. Some people never get their A1C even below 8, mm-hmm. which is full-blown diabetes, right? But if you take the right antioxidants and other nutrition, no one will know you have diabetes, except for the fact that your A1C is high and you're probably taking insulin shots or mm-hmm. have an insulin pump. But the typical progressive dispossession of your physical resources that people with high A1C experience, which is eyesight, kidneys, peripheral neuropathy, circulation issues, those things can disappear. And also quite often people with diabetes have high cholesterol, which compounds the problem. But in the case of people that use the right nutrition, you can have an A1C of 8 or even higher, but have no symptoms of diabetes at all.
Hmm.
And we have customers like that, Lucy, who have had diabetes for 30 or 40 years and have been on insulin shots and now a pump, that are very, very active. And because of their particular lifestyle, their sugar goes way up to 10 and back down to 5 and 10. By the time you average it out, you know, your hemoglobin is totally engulfed with sugar. But when you look at their other tests, their other blood tests, the doctors will look at it and go, we would have no idea you have diabetes if we didn't know you had high blood sugar. Hmm. And that's how effective the good nutrition products really are. These days, the new science of nutrition, you now have the capability to completely mitigate all the side effects of diabetes so that people do not have to go through life and lose this and lose this and
right.
lose their eyesight and lose their leg and that type of
right.
thing. So,
I remember when I was, still full-time as a psychotherapist, one of the gentlemen that I worked with, I literally had him on my client list for a couple of years, and I watched him lose body parts during that period of time because he could not get his blood sugar under control. So it was quite yeah. sad. And at the time of his death, he was blind and there wasn't much left of his lower body, you know, just
yeah.
because of that.
Yep.
Are more and more physicians willing to work with nutrition, work with something like the Gladiator barley?
Yes, they are. There's such a thing now for doctors that they can go back and take extra courses and actually become certified nutritional specialists. Mm-hmm. And a lot of doctors have, including a lot of eye doctors, who realize the importance of nutrition. But others too, a lot of doctors are going back to get this further certification, especially functional medicine doctors and naturopathic doctors, but a lot of other MDs and also chiropractors as well are becoming educated about it. But if you still, though, it's a big gap, because if you ask a large group of doctors, do you give nutritional advice to your patients?
Mm-hmm.
They say no. And when asked why not, the answer is we don't feel qualified to do it.
And they probably don't have the time to right. go back and take these classes.
Right, exactly. And so the most of the time, a physician will not give nutritional advice to their patients, they'll refer that out to somebody else.
At least they're referring. That's important.
At least they're referring. But they're not going to sit and have a conversation with you about it. And for the most part, they don't yet know that there are products that have stabilized superoxide dismutase in it. Hmm. So what they might know is that SOD has a half-life of 10 minutes. And so a lot of times if people go to the health food store and they buy a bottle that says this is SOD, mm-hmm. right? There's actually very little, if any, SOD in it because of the half-life of 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, the SOD is gone by half. So you don't have to do the math much beyond 24 hours to realize that a pill has none in it. But the new technology allows us now to stabilize SOD when the sprouted barley seeds are made. They have a nutrient stabilization process. And as the sprouts come to a certain point where they're at their peak of nutrition, they can now stop those sprouts from sprouting and then immediately stabilize the nutrients there before they then dry it out and grind it up into a powder. So the half-life gets expanded from 10 minutes to about 4 years.
And that's the gladiator barley.
That's
that
the gladiator barley.
Yeah.
Now, the gladiator barley also has a tremendous amount of pre-digested protein in it, meaning that when a seed sprouts, there's a lot of protein at the very beginning, but there's also a lot of digestive enzymes. And the digestive enzymes will digest the protein down into the elemental parts, the amino acids. Mm-hmm. And so when you harvest the sprout, you're harvesting it while it's in the form of amino acids, which is a really good thing because when people take in protein, they have to digest that protein down into amino acids, and it requires a lot of energy to digest protein.
How much time does it require? Like if somebody says, oh, well, I get all my protein from eating an 8-ounce steak, then how long does it take to actually digest that 8-ounce steak?
Well, it's going to take about 5 hours before that's done. And then as the protein gets digested down, assuming all of it gets digested, depending on the veracity of the digestive enzymes in your stomach and coming from your pancreas, not all of it may get digested. So you can't absorb protein in your small intestine. You can only absorb amino acids. And so then further digestion occurs in your small intestine. Okay. So the problem really is that the digestive process requires that your digestive system be in good working order.
And not everybody's is.
And that you also need to expend a lot of energy in order to do it. Mm-hmm. So when you have pre-digested protein or amino acids, they can be absorbed. They don't have to be digested. And they can be absorbed in your small intestine very easily. And then those amino acids are reassembled into human proteins.
How fast does that happen?
Oh, about 10 to the minus 22 nanoseconds.
Once
in cellular chemistry, things are happening at a speed that you can't witness. It's too fast. And so
The repair work is actually getting done very quickly for your body.
Extremely quickly. And the protein, the human proteins, which we make about 100,000 different human proteins, and they're coded for in your DNA, and it's very easy to make a protein from the instruction in your DNA. All you need is for an RNA molecule to come over and hover above the DNA, and when the protein sheath that's around the DNA gets unwrapped by a stimulus, usually something like vitamin D3, it now opens a window and the RNA can transcribe the information, come out into the cell, and send out a call for metabolic enzymes and amino acids, and then assemble that protein that then gets used in metabolic pathways. It sounds simple, but I can tell you this, that just one of those 100,000 proteins called human telomerase, it took a team of researchers 5 years, 80 researchers, 5 years from five different medical research institutes to figure out the structure of that one protein.
That's crazy.
And your body can build it in nanoseconds.
In nanoseconds. And so, I mean, there's no way that the computer technology we have today is even close to what our body can do in just a millisecond of, fixing us.
Yeah, not even the quantum computers or the supercomputers.
Right. So we are miracles indeed, walking around.
Yeah, really. You can try to imagine it, but as soon as you imagine one chemical transaction, okay, and then begin to try to imagine that that happens a billion times a second just inside your hand.
Right.
Okay, so that's, we really are quite an immense miracle that's pretty much beyond full understanding, because to be able to understand something that could happen that fast is very difficult to fathom.
And, you know, the thing that kind of amazes me, I mean, if you understand as a human being how miraculous you are, then I would think everyone listening would want to do everything they could to stay healthy, you know, if it's within reason, that, that instead of allowing, you know, the pharmaceutical companies to give you things that ultimately poison the body, and eating things that ultimately poison the body, or drinking things that ultimately poison the body, that you would want to be aware of what you can do to stay healthy.
Absolutely. Education and knowledge about it is the very first step that you have to go through, but then you actually have to implement it. And implementing it is very difficult for most people, because to get proper nutrition, for example, you have to have a wide spectrum of knowledge. Then you have to be able to get those products. So where are you going to get them? At the health food store, off the internet, from the drugstore, your friend told you this, you read this, you heard that. And no one really ever pieces together proper nutrition in that fashion. So what we've done, Lucy, is to try to simplify it for everyone, and it's worked. So what we do is we have kits that people can get where you have a few powders, a couple of pills, and some extra liquid vitamin D3 or some D3 pills. And we know from all the research that by using this kit, you can get all of the nutritional supplements that you need, and they're in the right ratios. So you don't have to do the guesswork where you've got 20 bottles of pills on top of your refrigerator that are unlikely that you're ever going to take. And if you did, they're not going to be necessarily the right things, and they're not going to be in the right ratios. So our research and our efforts have gone into being able to tell somebody, let us send you this kit and follow these instructions. It takes less than 2 minutes in the morning to do it, and you will have all the nutrients that you need for the day in that, in the beginning of the day, all of your supplements. And then if you follow a reasonable diet as you go throughout the day, you're going to be very healthy, and you'll have superoxide dismutase, these amino acids for building your proteins that we've been discussing, and many, many other things, like what you need for circulation that we talked about.
Okay, so I know that quite a few females that are listening, if they've been pregnant, one of the big concerns is gestational diabetes. And if you get it once, does it mean that you would get it with every pregnancy? Or what do you do if you have been diagnosed with that?
Well, it doesn't mean you're going to get it with every pregnancy, but of course it's more likely. What you want to do is actually start prior to the pregnancy. So what I advise people to do, they tell me we want to have children, and we can do a whole show on this, which I've done before. But essentially, you want to have the mom-to-be and the dad to both be as healthy as possible prior to the pregnancy. So you want to go through a detoxification process before you get pregnant, because you don't want to be going through detox while you're pregnant.
No.
So you want to spend about 6 months to make sure that you've used compounds like SOD, for example, and glutathione, which is in another one of our products, and do a really thorough cleanse of your body. So all your internal organs are cleansed of pesticides and the gasoline fumes and tire dust and all the things that we're exposed to. And in addition, to pay really close attention to your overall state of nutrition. So you want to have enough amino acids, enough metabolic enzymes, enough vitamin D3, right? Enough of the B vitamins, etc., because there are many different birth defects that can occur if the mom in particular is deplete in certain nutrients. Mm-hmm. And so to be really smart about it, you would do this detox and then begin to build your nutritional status and track with blood work to see where you are. And you want to make sure that you test your D3, which is normally not tested by your doctor. You want to test your C-reactive protein, which is your level of inflammation, which won't be tested by mm-hmm. the doctor. And you want to test your iron level. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you want is to be anemic or to have too high of iron when you're pregnant. You want your level to be right there at a very exacting amount. And so these are important things to do so you know before you get pregnant. And then while you're pregnant, the doctor might say, oh, looks like we got a little problem here. You need some more of this and more of that. Well, no, because you're going to start ahead of time and continue on with the regime while you're pregnant.
So right? The baby gets the very best exactly. of all so, possible worlds.
Right. And then you being in that level of health mm-hmm. are unlikely to get diabetes while you're pregnant. But if you do, guess what? All the damage from the diabetes in the form of superoxide is not going to be hurting you mm-hmm. because you're taking in superoxide dismutase, which if you were to get diabetes and all of a sudden now start taking SOD while you're pregnant, no, you can't do it because SOD also detoxifies you, mm-hmm. which you don't want to do while you're pregnant.
That's true.
Right? So you have to be really smart and start 6 months ahead of time, move through the and your nutritional needs change during the trimesters. You need different amount of calories during the first, second, and third trimester. And it goes up as your pregnancy goes along. Okay? Mm-hmm. And while you're going through the pregnancy, you want to also check your blood levels of your vitamin D3, right? And your iron, because if it goes out of whack, you can catch it very quickly and do something about it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so this is the smart way in this day and age to actually have the healthiest child possible. And then, of course, the actual process of the birth is another story where you want to do everything you can to avoid a C-section. Mm-hmm. C-sections make it so the baby's not exposed to the bacteria in the birth canal. Mm-hmm. And that's not good because the bacteria in the birth canal helps the baby digest its first meal. So that bacteria gets in the baby's mouth mm-hmm. and the mother's milk is mm-hmm. digested by that bacteria. So, but if you're cesarean born, you're more susceptible to disorders of the alimentary canal as a child. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you want to, if at all possible, have that done. But also there are places that if you have to have a C-section, they will actually take the fluids from the birth canal and they can, with gauze, gather those fluids and actually bathe the baby's face in particular in those fluids, but okay. also the whole body. Mm-hmm. And then it gives a semblance of having been born naturally.
How long have they been doing that technique?
Well, there's people been doing that for a long time, but only recently are you starting to see it in the medical literature. Mm-hmm. And they're still testing it. They're still doing longitudinal studies
to see if it makes a difference
yeah. long term.
Right.
It can't hurt. So mm-hmm. you definitely want to do that if you have if there was a C-section, but also not only that, but a C-section creates a very sudden change in pressure mm-hmm. for the baby. Mm-hmm. So when babies are born naturally, they go through a gradual change of pressure. C-section changes the pressure inside the womb instantly,
yeah.
and it creates a problem with the cerebral spinal fluid. A baby that's born by C-section should see a craniosacral therapist shortly after birth.
I know that doesn't happen.
Well, it can. If people are listening to this show now, they know.
Right.
That's why we have these shows.
Right, exactly. I think I had even read not too long ago a lot of the research that's being done with Parkinson's and MS, maybe, you know, that are talking about this very fact that there's an inordinate number of people that were born with a C-section that now have these conditions, and they're tracking it back to the strong possibility that that's what took place. And then there is a method. You might want to share that a little bit, but a method that they can undertake that sounds a little gross, but it is reversing these conditions.
Yeah, so very true. So it's almost accidental that they discovered that autoimmune diseases are related to the voracity of your microbiome, particularly in your large intestine. And so your large intestine's microbiome is highly dependent upon what happened when you were born. Mm-hmm. And it's not only that, because we're bathed in bacteria, but when a child is born, when it's in the womb, it's almost purely human, not completely, but almost purely human. And then when the child is born, it's very quickly colonized by bacteria to the point where after just a couple of months, the child has been rendered to only about 1/10 human. And 90% of the being that you're calling a child is actually bacteria, and 10% of it is human.
That's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. And so bacteria they're waiting in ambush, but it's also a divine waiting where a human being is not functional on planet Earth without a partnership with the bacteria. And so literally God has armies of trillions of bacteria waiting for the baby to come out of the womb. Uh-huh. And actually on the way out of the womb, the bacteria are colonizing the baby inside and out, because the bacteria gets into the baby's mouth and it gets swallowed, and it's in your intestines and it's all over your skin. And by the time the baby's a couple months old, it's fully colonized.
Talk about aliens. It's definitely alien.
So this colonized being mm-hmm. is this human child, we so call it. If it was Caesarean born, does not have a lot of that experience mm-hmm. of having this inoculation. And so later in life, the immune system doesn't function as well mm-hmm. and can lead to an autoimmune disease like Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis or arthritis. And so one of the things they discovered was when people had particular intestinal infections like C. diff, they would treat it with a transplant. And as they did that, they realized that the autoimmune disease was getting better. And the way they did the transplant was they did an enema for the person where their large intestine was evacuated. And then they took a donor, and they now have what they call super donors, who have the contents of their large bowel, their feces, is actually in a really, really great state of balance of bacteria, and they're very healthy. And so they'll liquefy that with saline and inject it into the patient and leave it in for a couple of hours and then drain it out. And over the course of a 2-hour period, you have exchanged your content of bacteria for a donor's bacteria.
That is good.
Right. And so it's not a 100% exchange, because a lot of bacteria is clinging deep in your intestine and is not going to be flushed out with an enema. But it is changing the balance to the extent that your immune system begins working properly, and in a lot of cases it goes away.
Yeah, how long does something like that take before patients begin to see a difference then?
It's usually, if it's going to work, it usually works within a couple of weeks. You start to notice the difference, but it doesn't always work on the first time.
So they might have to do it.
They might have to do it over again and again with the same donor, or they might have to switch donors.
Okay, depending on compatibility then.
Yeah, depending on whether it works. Mm. So because you don't know for certain, the compatibility being what's left after the enema, what's left in your large intestine, and is the balance of the donor going to work together with that?
So it's like an exception or accepting another person's.
It's accepting it and integrating it in a way that makes your immune system work better, right? So that's really important. But, you know, Lucy, we talked about the issue of circulation earlier, and this is really important because not only for people with diabetes, but particularly for people with diabetes, you have to have really good circulation.
Right.
So, you know, human beings are skeletal structures. We were able to grow very large compared to a mouse, for example, and we're able to walk upright. But our hands and feet are a long ways away from our heart. But not only that, only about a quarter of our circulatory system actually has blood pumped to it. Your circulatory system very quickly becomes too small for a pumping action to actually make blood go through. And so your capillaries and arterioles have to expand and contract in order to move the blood along. Okay? This is your microcirculation. And that microcirculation is critical because the nutrients that are in your blood, including oxygen, are going to drop down into your cells at the level of the capillary. And so you have to make sure that your microcirculation system is working properly, where you have the frequency of the dilation and the intensity of the dilation are adequate to allow enough blood to get through. And if not, then you're going to be malnourished because the nutrients that are in the blood have to get there and be delivered, and you're also going to probably be low in oxygen. And so knowing what to do about circulation is really valuable. So the first thing that you want to do is make sure your heart is really strong, right? So what we do for people like that is a combination of our sprouted barley seeds, but also to give them a product we have called Boomer Boost, which is designed to help people's circulatory system and overall health. So it has compounds in it like trimethylglycine and phosphatidylcholine and arginine. And phosphatidylcholine in particular is incredibly important, not only for your circulation, but the health of your liver. And we talked at the very beginning about detoxification, especially for a pregnant woman. And you need an ample amount of phosphatidylcholine to keep shuttling the fat out of your liver so it can be used for fuel. Right. And so you need to have a nutrition product that has phosphatidylcholine in it, which we do. One of the things it does for circulation is part of your cell wall, the lining of your cell, is made of phosphatidylcholine and also cholesterol. And as you age, you have less phosphatidylcholine there. And so the cell walls become more brittle, and your arteries are made up of cells, and they too become more brittle. And so by adding phosphatidylcholine to your diet, you can actually change the elasticity of your arteries so that when blood is moving through, they're able to expand more. Right? And then you want to also be able to stimulate that expansion. So expansion of capillaries is done in a twofold measure. One is by nitric oxide acting on the inside lining of the artery, the endothelium, which originates as arginine and then gets converted. So we also have arginine in our product. And then this creates an expansion of the artery from the nitric oxide acting on the endothelium. And the other aspect to it is that your capillaries and arterioles are responding to pulses of electromagnetism from the core of the earth primarily, and to a minor degree from the sun. But the core of our earth is metallic, and it's putting off immense amounts of electromagnetic energy in pulses. And we evolved in an electromagnetic field, and we evolved in light, and we evolved in an atmosphere. Therefore, we are using light as a source of photons and a source of energy. And we're using oxygen from the atmosphere as a source of energy, right? And We're also using PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic fields from the core of the Earth, to make sure we have adequate circulation. Mm-hmm. And so we now have the ability to mimic those pulses from the core of the Earth and put them right onto your body in a pad that's a PEMF imitator. Mm-hmm. So it comes with a power supply, plugs into this pad that you put under your mattress pad, and you lie on it for 8 minutes twice a day, and it gives you a mimic of those pulses from the core of the Earth, ramps up your circulation that lasts for about 14 hours. And then that's why you have to do it twice a day. So these are, this is what PEMF mats are good for your circulation. Very, very helpful for people with diabetes.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because the extremities are, or especially the feet, are where the problems typically begin.
Right.
And so this obviously would make a difference there if they were laying on it, what, in the morning for 8 minutes and then maybe at bedtime?
Exactly. And then, so we have a customer from up in Georgia who is an older man that has diabetes and was about to have both of his feet amputated.
Oh, wow.
And using different techniques, including this PEMF mat, we were able to save his feet and from amputation and actually save him from having to go on hospice care because he was very, very sick and his feet were only one of his problems. Mm-hmm. And but now he was able to, with our assistance, with our nutrition products and a PEMF mat that we got him and another device, he was able to not only not to have to go on hospice, but to avoid the surgery. And he was able to go to his son's wedding, and his son was quite certain that his dad was going to die before his wedding.
Oh.
Right? And then this is a family where the son and his new wife are planning on having children. And so we were able to help them to say, here's how you make your plan, a 6 month plan. You do this, 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 and this. Then on around this month is when you want to get pregnant. And then this is what you do during pregnancy. So we were able to help with a dad to keep him alive and avoid these horrendous amputations. And he was able to actually attend the wedding. And now we're helping with the yet to be born grandchild.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, as you're describing that, I go back and I think how much planning goes into finding a new home. And we probably spend a lot more effort looking for that home than maybe caring for the home that we live in, which is us, our bodies. So that's pretty interesting how that works.
Yep.
All right. I think I have time for maybe a couple more quick questions. Like generally healthy eating habits for people that are pre-diabetic or even if they've been diagnosed with diabetes. Mm-hmm. I know that the Gladiator barley is pretty much, in my estimation, a must in order to begin to turn things around. And then the other product you were talking about is, the name is?
Boomer Boost.
Boomer Boost.
Boomer Boost,
so, you know, those two together for sure. I'm sure there's other things as well. But if you're pre-diabetic, then what do you want to be putting in your mouth maybe?
Sure, there's that part of it too. But you also have to talk about it together with exercise. So exercise, meaning that, you know, there was a study that just came out, Lucy, a couple of days ago, where they studied 125,000 people over the course of 9 years.
That's a good one.
And they were looking at predicting what would predict what, how long they would stay alive. And what they found, that it wasn't their age at the time of the beginning of the study. It was their cardiovascular endurance. So they gave people stress tests.
Okay.
And the people that sit around all day and don't do any exercise,
not very good.
That was the predictor of death, not what their age was.
Okay.
And what they do know is that if for 30 minutes a day you exchange sitting for walking, you'll increase your chances of living longer by 17%. And if you replaced it with a moderate exercise, meaning you maybe walked fast on a treadmill one day and did some weightlifting the next day, or with some TheraBand or stretch band, and then you did some stretching and some balance exercises, 35% increase.
And that's not a lot to ask somebody to do.
That's right, right. But what they said in the study was, you can't out-exercise your poor diet.
Ah,
Right. Okay. So that was something else they discovered.
So no Big Macs after you exercise.
Right. So you can exercise all you want, but mm-hmm. if you have a poor diet, you're still going to be sick. Mm-hmm. So in regard to diet, the easiest and most important thing is sugar. So still to this day, in the United States, 25% of all calories that people consume is from soda pop. 25%. Now, that doesn't count other sugary drinks.
Right.
Okay. And so that alone, if we could simply no longer have people drinking sugary drinks and instead we're just drinking water, mm-hmm. almost all diabetes would go away.
And how simple is that to right. do?
So it sounds simple on the surface, but people do get addicted to sugar.
Oh, sure.
Right. And so they say sugar is more addicting than heroin.
I have heard that.
Right. So, that. But there's some really great books that people can get to read about this. One is called The Sugar Impact Diet. Mm-hmm. Is a really good book about where the hidden sugars are and how to get off of your sugar habit. Another one is called Bright Line Eating. And in this book, it talks specifically about sugar and replacing sugar with good fats. Mm-hmm. And it actually shows scans of the brain. What it's like to be on heroin and what it's like to be on sugar.
Wow.
And they can clearly demonstrate it's worse to be hooked on sugar. So, yes, a lot of people do that. But just like the man that came to our office with his 400 blood sugar, he couldn't stop drinking soda pop right away.
Because of the addiction.
Right. And it took him a while to be able to get mm-hmm. off of it. Okay. But there are techniques for modifying your behaviors like that and mitigating the extreme difficulty of mm-hmm. getting off of sugar. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that some other time. But there's that aspect to it. But then also, we now have this new craze called the keto diet, right? Or the ketogenic diet.
Right.
And that's essentially transitioning your body from burning sugar for energy to burning ketones for energy.
Which is fat.
Right. And so the ketones are stored in your fat, mm-hmm. in your liver, and you want to have a diet that mobilizes that in mm-hmm. order to burn that. It's a more efficient fuel, mm-hmm. and you don't need as much insulin. And so it all around, you're going to be healthier that way. And so what you want to do is focus on eating good fats. So the foods that have good fats are things like avocados and nuts and seeds mm-hmm. and also fish. But you want to be very careful also when you follow a keto diet to stay away from lectins. So lectins are these little nasty proteins in foods that can get into your large intestine and actually drill little holes in it, which creates a leaky gut, and bacteria will leak out and infect your liver. And a lot of fatty liver disease is caused by leaky gut. So these lectins are in raw tomatoes, eggplants, beans, cashews and peanuts. Right. And so if you can avoid those, you don't have to avoid tomatoes altogether. Tomato sauce mm-hmm. usually has the skin taken off and the seeds sifted out and it's cooked. And so the lectins are negligible. And so that's a basic keto diet. Good fats, moderate protein, and lower level of carbohydrates. Very, very good diet for a person with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Taken together with exercise and using the right nutritional products, you're going to do really well.
Well, I hope everybody has enjoyed listening to all of the ways that they can get healthy, and also just the fact that we have so many diabetics with us in our families and people that we know. So they can get in touch with Boomers at what number?
It's in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's 727-443-2500.
Okay. And if you're listening and you're out of state, there's a 1-800 number?
Yep, which is right on the website.
Okay. Yep. So you can go to boomerboost.com
mm-hmm.
and get a lot of wonderful information there as well. I wanted to share with everyone, because I think this will be just a super fun show. I don't think it'll be X-rated, but who knows? It might be. But the next time Bob and I get together, which will be several weeks from now, but we're going to do what I think is going to be a very interesting topic. It's called The Molecules of Love and Desire. And that does sound like it could be X-rated, but I'm sure it's not. So that will be a future show with Bob Gilpatrick. And thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Lucy. The pleasure was mine.
All right. Goodbye, everybody, and make it your best life.
Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. If you wanted to know more about the products Bob spoke about on today's show, please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y connectionradio.com. Click on the Boomers Vibrate a New banner on the homepage. There you can find details about the Gladiator Barley and Boomer Boost we talked about today. Use promo code Lucy, that's L-U-C-Y, at checkout to save $5 on your order. Don't forget to tune in next week to the Synergy Connection Show.